Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. Hello, 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 Sheldon.
Hi, Pamela. How are you doing?
Well, you're here, so everything is good. Everything is good. What are we talking about today?
So, about 2 weeks ago, MTV announced that they would be shutting down a whole lot of their channels. And I think one
big
of the
big moments.
Yeah. I mean, since 1981, they started in 1981, and I think the pressure from channels like YouTube and TikTok and social media and on-demand viewing has now made it just unfeasible to sit down and watch a television station that does music videos. Mm. Also, they say that the station sort of lost its core function, because then it started focusing a lot on like reality shows, and that wasn't their core offering or their value proposition. And so some people say they lost focus, and so it wasn't the same. Mm. But when they were around, they were a massive force to be reckoned with. And it propelled the music industry forward, and specifically the art of the music video. And so I did a little bit of background research. The first ever music video was in 1895.
Okay.
And
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, like over 100 years ago. And it was created on something called a kinetophone, which was created by Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented everything. And it was so they'd shoot the video, and then they'd have this like a jukebox kind of thing, and they'd have like wax cylinders that they'd record the music on. It looked like a vinyl, but it's a cylinder. And then they would play the music, and then they would play the video simultaneously. Mm. And that first ever music video was a guy on a violin who was the musician and two dancers. But for some reason that cylinder got lost, and it was only reunited with the video in the 1960s.
Wow.
So they reunited, and then in 1998 they combined the two into one format instead of having two separate things. So the music video format has changed over the years. So in the 1950s they invented something called the scopitone, and then there was a panoram, and there were like these little machines like a jukebox where you could go and watch the video and listen to the music at the same time. And then in 1981 MTV came around, and with the advent of MTV, it sort of elevated the art form of what a music video is. Mm. What the storytelling is, the narrative that is created, it was almost like a new form of artwork. In the 1960s, the Beatles had actually started doing music videos. And the reason why they started doing music videos was because they were touring a lot. But because the fans are so crazy for the Beatles, what they'd often do is they would unplug all their instruments and act like they were playing because no one was listening anyway. Mm. And they were like, there's no point in doing this. So they were like, we can reach a much bigger audience by doing a music video. So they were one of the first artists to start experimenting with music videos. But only really in the 1980s did the music video get elevated to an art form. And one of the first people to do that was Michael Jackson, to really take this thing, which was telling a story in 3 minutes, and taking it to the next level. And so it all started with Billie Jean. And Billie Jean, MTV did not want to play black artists. And
yes, I remember that.
They didn't want to play Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And what happened was Walter Yetnikoff, who was the head of CBS Records, went to MTV and he said to them, if you don't play Michael Jackson, I'm pulling my whole roster of artists. Mm. I'm taking them all off MTV. Mm. And so MTV was forced to play Michael Jackson. And shortly after the Billie Jean music video, Michael said, I want to do the ultimate music video. And he did Thriller.
Yeah.
And Thriller was like taking the music video format to another level, which was like creating a short film.
Yeah, a film.
And so it was a 14-minute film that he created. And CBS did not want to pay for it. They were like, we're not paying for that music video. We've already released six singles off Thriller. There's no use for us to release a seventh single. We've already recorded two music videos. It's 2 years after the release of Thriller. This is not going to do anything for sales. And Michael was like, well, if you're not going to pay for it, I will pay for it.
Yeah.
So he paid for it. And very cleverly, what he did was he sold the rights to MTV and to another broadcaster for the rights for them to play a documentary of the making of the Thriller video. And together, those two companies paid $500,000 for the production of Thriller. Anyway, it became the biggest music, one of the most iconic music videos ever made. And on top of that, it helped propel the album back to number one.
Yeah.
They were shifting 1 million units a week at that point after the release of the Thriller music video. And so fast forward to 1995, there'd been all these rumors that Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson were actually the same person, and that people were getting punked by the whole Michael Jackson Janet, because they were both really big at the same time. And so I think part of what propelled them to do this music video together and the song was to try and dispel that notion that they were one person. And the production of the song was by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who's Janet Jackson's producers. So Michael had worked with Quincy up to that time. And so this was the first single off the History album. And it was mind-blowing. I remember, and in those days, you didn't go and switch on and, you know, you can just go to Spotify and get your track. There was an announcement weeks before that the song is going to get played on radio at this particular time of the day. And I was like, I'm going to be there. And I was listening to the radio when they performed the song for the first time. And I was blown away by the production. It was just this over-the-top production, the futuristic. And then the music video. So the music video for the song holds a world record for the most expensive music video ever produced.
What?
$7 million.
Never.
For the production of this music video. Which blew Thriller out of the water, because Thriller cost $900,000 to make, which was far more than any other music video at the time.
Before, yeah.
$7 million. Michael Jackson threw the kitchen sink at this. He wanted it to be futuristic. He wanted it to be off the charts, special effects. He got a special director to come and direct the music video. He even had Janet and him would practice on the set at separate times. He didn't want to be on the same set as Janet at the same time. And the reason for that was to inspire her to be super competitive when they got on the set together to record. So Michael really wanted to create the ultimate music video, and it still holds the record to this day as the most expensive music video in history.
Really?
Yeah.
That shocks me.
Yeah, $7 million.
What was that song that he produced? Was it Earth? What?
Earth Song.
A song.
Yes.
Wasn't that expensive?
No, not as expensive as this.
I suppose it's video footage.
Yes.
It's stock footage.
So this was special effects. It was over the top music video. So
that is amazing. Yeah. I'm really surprised by that. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Our next song is?
So the next song after that is, playing on the Michael Jackson thing, someone who's highly inspired by Michael Jackson is The Weeknd. And you can hear it in the music. You can hear it in his vocal styling. You can hear it in, you can even see it in the way that The Weeknd presents himself. He's not the entertainer that Michael Jackson was.
Yes.
But he really does try to uplift himself to that level. Anyway, this specific song, which I think is so brilliant, is called I Feel It Coming. And it was from, it was released in 2016. And here, The Weeknd brought a iconic producer on board, a guy who had done some of the production work for Star Wars. His name is Warren Fu, to come and create this dystopian universe. And the song features Daft Punk, which is one of my favorite bands. They are a French house band who incidentally used Warren Fu as well for their Demise music video. So what had happened was the band I don't know if you know Daft Punk, but you never see their faces. So you don't know the identity of the two guys. And the band decided they were going to split up. But the way that they announced it was in this music video that was played on YouTube, where the two guys come together in the video and they explode. And then it says, and then it says the end.
The end.
And so that was the end of the band. Yeah. So they broke
that
up at that point. But the music video for that was also done by Warren Fu. And they put this amazing, like futuristic dystopian universe music video together. And at the end of the music video, you see Daft Punk coming through. And yeah, I just think it's a brilliant video.
Missy
Elliott.
Missy. Hey.
She's one of my favorite rappers of all
time. She's so cool. She is so cool.
Oh, and so Missy, other than being a phenomenal, phenomenal rapper, was also one of the best visual storytellers.
She's just a creative all-round just, she's smart, man.
Yeah.
She's a creative genius.
Exactly. So, I mean, she was a producer.
Yeah.
She was a songwriter. She was a rapper and a visual artist.
She's brilliant.
And that was what she was lauded for, and that's what she brought to hip-hop.
Mm.
More so than any other, even male rapper.
Yeah.
The whole visual aesthetic or the visual storytelling was just on another level.
Yeah.
Like the special effects and the people that she brought in and the people she worked with. Because essentially, with a music video, you are sort of confined to the 3 minute to 5 minute time range, and you have to be able to tell a full story in that 3 to 5 minutes. And that's what Missy was really good at, like thinking out of the box and getting people who could bring her vision to life. Now, this song was from her album, her fourth album, Under Construction, and it was produced by her and Timbaland when they were still talking to each other. And it went to number 2 in the United States and number 6 in the UK. And it had a sample of a Blondie song called Heart of Glass, which is a very famous song. And the director was a guy called Dave Myers, who was famous for doing commercials.
Yeah.
And that is like, if you want someone who's going to be able to tell that story,
a commercial director is the person.
Exactly, because they know how to distill all that information into a very short period of time. What I really loved about this music video is Missy was always a promoter of other artists. And in the music video, she pays homage to Aaliyah and Lisa Left Eye Lopez, who had died very close to each other, both from accidents, one from a car accident and one from an airplane accident. And she has their artworks spray painted onto the hood of a car. So in the music video, you see the two images on the car. But just a brilliant, like the music video starts with bees buzzing in it. She had real bees on the set of the music video, to the point that someone actually got stung in the music video.
Oh my word.
But anyway, it's just like the ideas of like layering all of these things, like bringing bees in and bringing all the special effects in and the artwork of on the car. It's just like an assimilation of so many brilliant art forms, choreography, all into one, which was what Michael Jackson did so well. And where, you know, The Weeknd just before, and you could hear like Michael Jackson influence on that vocal all the way. And it's about not only bringing the music to the front, but also the storytelling, the choreography, the art, the makeup, the costuming. It was about bringing all of those ideas together into one product, which was a companion to what the albums or the songs were, but just on another level. And so the way you consume that music was completely different from listening to it on radio.
Lil Nas.
So Lil Nas X, he's such an interesting character, because when he first had his big hit with Billy Ray Cyrus in 2018, Old Town Road, which became a mega hit. It was like number one on the charts for 19 weeks and beat the record that had been previously held by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men for 16 weeks. So it blew them out of the water. people were like, hey, this guy's a novelty act. You know, like, is he going to outlast this song? Because it was such a big song and it was the first song. And then when he came out as gay, I mean, a gay rapper, I mean, that's just an oxymoron on another level. Like, how can you even put those two words together? And rappers have been so shady about gay people for the longest time. So now you've got a gay rapper. I mean, how's that going to go down? So, like, when he came out as gay, people were like, hey, this guy's days are numbered. I mean, it's tickets for him. Anyway, and so what does this guy do? He, like, starts producing this music, this album called Montero, which was his debut album. And it's, like, 50 shades of controversial. There was talk about the Illuminati and, like, devil Nike sneakers. And then there was this specific song that we're looking at called Industry Baby, which, I mean, it was a serialized music video. So there was a prelude to the video that was released like 2 weeks before the actual video. And in that music video, there is a court case that happens in the music video. And he gets condemned to go to court, to prison. And the follow-up music video, which was Industry Baby, was him in prison. And it opens up with them going into prison and him holding court in prison. But and then the most controversial thing of it all was him in this nude choreographed scene with a whole lot of prisoners in the background. So, like, reinforcing, like, all of these terrible
stereotypes.
Stereotypes. And anyway, but it really caught people's attention. The song went to number one. It was a massive song. The song itself is really good. It's a powerful song. And he tries to tap into things like the Shawshank Redemption, because at the end of the music video, he escapes from the prison, the whole spiel, and Escape from Alcatraz, which was released in 1979, both brilliant movies. And he taps into that nostalgia and brings the audience into it. And so here was a guy that most people had written off who's now kicking it with this specific song.
Kaya.
959.
Come on.
So this is Prince. Yeah. The Prince.
Oh, so today we had
My Blair was in here just now.
Yeah.
Asking us how come Madonna is not on this playlist?
And that would have been number three.
How come Madonna is not on this?
You know, because I've got a Holy Trinity. And it's Michael Jackson, Prince and Madonna. So we didn't do Madonna today.
He's right.
But he is right. I mean, the three ultimate visual storytellers, Michael, Madonna, and Prince. Prince, you know what? Prince had such an androgynous look about him that people never really took him seriously as a musician. You hear the guitar in that's Prince playing guitar. Yeah. It's amazing guitar, virtuoso guitar playing. So this song was included in a movie called Purple Rain, and was the first single to be released from the movie. And if you listen to it carefully, you'll hear there's no bass line. And the reason why there's no bass line is because there was a bass line to the song. But Prince, when he heard it, he was like, hey, this makes the song too conventional. And I want this to be an unusual song. I don't want people to have like a strong beat to the song. I'm removing the bass line, and removed it. People were like, are you crazy? You can't remove the bass line. That's the beat of the song. And he was like, no, I want it out.
I'm doing me.
Exactly, and he removed it. Now, the music video, now MTV struggled for a long time with this whole songs from movies business. And the reason for that was because MTV is a station, and it was a 24-hour station. Now, you need to fill up 24 hours with content. So, and obviously, every station, radio or television, needs to sell airtime. They need to sell advertising space on their television station or radio station. And so MTV was selling adverts on their television station. But the movie companies were like, these guys, they need content on their television station. So what we're going to do is we're not going to buy adverts to sell our movies. What we'll do is we'll get famous people to do songs, and then we'll put footage of the movies in the music videos. And MTV was like, no, guys, you can't do that. You're now getting free advertising for your movie.
Yeah.
So they then said, you can do songs from movies on our station, but you cannot have more than 50% of the music video dedicated to the movie. Yeah. Otherwise, it's an advert. Mm. And but Prince, with the creation of this specific music video, although he had some minor footage of the movie in the music video, the main focus was the imagery that he created on the song.
Yeah.
The doves at the beginning of the music video opening up to Prince in a bathtub, which was very controversial.
Yes.
And the music video landed up getting banned because of his nudity in the music video.
Lauryn Hill.
So Lauryn Hill, this is a very clever music video because what it does is it takes a Lauryn Hill from the 1960s and it takes a Lauryn Hill from the 1990s, hip-hop Lauryn Hill and Motown Lauryn Hill, and juxtaposes them next to each other in a mirrored scenario in New York, but in two different eras.
Yeah.
Almost calling, like reminding people of where urban music came from and where it went to.
We've got to go. We've got to go.
Yes.
We've run out of time.
So
thank you
up
so
that
much.
Thing.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye,
everybody.
Bye. Kaya. Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.